Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
Spend trillions on renewable sources to curb climate change. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Ashala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. That's the urgent message from the International Energy Agency, who says there's been a sharp increase in the use of coal and oil over the past year, pushing carbon dioxide levels to their second highest level since records began. The findings come ahead of the COP26 climate summit of world powers later this month, which hopes to secure a global agreement on phasing out coal. But this report will come as a concern, especially as the biggest polluter, China, is ramping up its coal production due to the energy crisis gripping the country at the moment. The BBC's Jonathan Josephs has this report.
The IEA says spending on clean energy projects needs to reach $4 trillion a year by 2030 if the world is to limit the rise in global temperatures to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. A clear move towards solar, wind and other clean powers is, it says, underway, but the pandemic has hindered efforts to cut coal and oil use. That means this year, the world is on course for the second biggest increase in CO2 emissions ever. On a note of hope, the IEA says that the spending required on renewable energy can pay for itself and create 26 million jobs by 2030.
The BBC's Jonathan Josephs there. Well, May Bouvy of the International Climate Campaign Group 350.org says there is some sliver of hope, though.
There's good news and there's bad news in this most recent report. And of course, the bad news is the rise in coal use. But there is some good news here as well, which is that for one of the first times in history, this report is actually taking into account what it would take to seriously limit warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, which scientists have said is necessary. In previous reports like this, we have seen a much more watered-down approach to what action is required from governments.
May Bouvy there. Let's check in with the markets. And despite the energy crisis, Chinese exports grew significantly in September. A law firm in the UK is seeking to launch a group action against Amazon over employee rights for delivery drivers. Lawyers are claiming drivers hired with a third party should be given the benefits enjoyed by employees. At the moment, they're classified as self-employed in the UK, and so that means they're not entitled to minimum wage and holiday pay. The BBC's Emma Simpson has the details.
The retailer uses self-employed drivers via multiple third-party providers for deliveries to homes. Lee Day claims that because of the way Amazon operates, these drivers should be classed as employees and be entitled to things like holiday pay. It says it's already begun legal action on behalf of two drivers and is seeking others to join a group action. Lee Day claims at least 3,000 drivers could potentially be owed more than £100 million in compensation. Amazon said it was committed to ensuring drivers were fairly paid by the delivery companies they work with and were treated with respect.
The BBC's Emma Simpson. to the sunny shores of Thailand now. The popular holiday destination plans to end COVID quarantine requirements for fully vaccinated travellers from at least 10 low-risk nations from the 1st of November. They include the US, the UK, China and Germany. Having managed the spread of the virus fairly robustly when the pandemic first hit last March, the emergence of the Delta variant has meant infections have soared with 10,000 positive cases a day since July. And whilst closing the borders has helped manage the COVID situation, it has had a devastating impact on the nation's crucial tourism industry, as the BBC's Jonathan Head reports now from Bangkok.
Saturday night in Dindang, a working-class district in Bangkok. The local youth have been doing this every weekend, taunting the police, throwing homemade explosives, and getting tear-gassed or shot with rubber bullets in return. It's the most dramatic expression of a wave of public anger directed at the government in Thailand over its handling of the COVID pandemic and the acute economic pain being felt in low-income households. I've been out of a job for 5 months, says Lung, a protester in his early 20s. The department store where he worked shut down, he says, and then he lost the room where he boarded. Thailand has had next to no foreign tourists now for 18 months. But the levels of COVID infections this year have got so bad, they've ravaged the domestic economy as well, giving the government little choice but to start opening up. But just how far will Thailand go? With vaccination levels still so low, officials are nervous. For bar owners like Nick Sanaman Ratchaton, who opened the stylish Tax Bar in an old Chinese shophouse in Bangkok late last year, the prospects for his business are still very grim.
For us to stay closed like this for this long without any compensation or support has been a disaster. Right now, they're acting as if we never exist.
Until this country can get vaccination levels up to those in Europe and the United States, which won't happen until well into next year, any reopening is only partial, with limited benefits to the struggling economy.
The BBC's Jonathan Head there reporting from Bangkok. And in London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.